decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us here. It is Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, and I owe you a big apology because there was no squirrel chatter yesterday. And the reason there was no squirrel chatter yesterday, is it was a very busy weekend. Sunday, the Superior High School graduation took. So after church, it was an immediate dash to Superior to attend the graduation. And that was, I approach graduation every year with a degree of trepidation. Excuse me. And the reason is that, you know, it's tough when you watch your kid graduate from high school. I know, because I experienced that. But since I started working at the school now 12 years ago, has gotten a lot tougher because it's not just watching my kid graduate. They're all my kids. I have a tendency in my heart to adopt each and every one of them. And you know, for the most part, troublemakers or whatever, but even those I have a soft spot. And then there are always one or two really special students that have a special place in my heart. But it's always tough to watch graduation because I know that I'm rarely going to see them again. Not never. I mean, I run into former students all the time, but it's still a different thing entirely. For one thing, you're never going to see that whole group together again. Even at high school reunions, you rarely get 100% of the class. So, you know, that group is never going to be together again as a group. And they're all going off to their adventures in life, and so it wish them well, and you send them out the door, and it's always kind of rough for me. And that's one of the things that nobody ever warned me about before I got involved in the school system, is how much of my heart would walk out that gym door every year. And so that's really true. Kids graduate. So congratulations to the class of 2022 from Superior High School who graduated Sunday. I got to see most of them yesterday morning because they had done what they call a lock-in. So Sunday night, they were all locked in the school. They had video games and movies and all sorts of stuff. I think they were in the gym. I'm not sure. Shooting baskets and watching movies. And none of them got any sleep, according to them. Maybe an hour or two catnap. They were up and active all. But I saw them yesterday morning because I had a very early bus drive tomorrow. I'm really tired. It's been a busy few days. Sunday with graduation. And then yesterday, I had to get up at 5 o'clock to get ready for the bus trip. If you noticed on Facebook and Twitter, I posted a picture of my two mismatched shoes. I had a black tennis shoe on my left foot and a black tennis shoe on my right foot, and they were a right and a left shoe, but they were from different pairs of black tennis shoes, different brands. I didn't notice until after lunch yesterday when I was sitting on the bus reading, and I looked down at my feet and goes, "That's not right." And then I looked some more and realized what I had done. So I was not awake yesterday, I guess, when I got dressed. So anyway, all of this is to say why I didn't have a squirrel chatter yesterday. I went to bed early Sunday night. And as I said, Sunday was really busy. And I went to bed early Sunday night. It was right about the time I was getting ready for bed that I realized I had not pre-recorded yesterday's squirrel chatter. And since I had not pre-recorded yesterday's squirrel chatter at that time, I thought about getting up and doing it, but it was like, no, I've got to get up at 5 o'clock. I need before I drive the bus. So I got up yesterday morning, and that's when I sit out that there was not going to be a squirrel chatter yesterday. So this is what we're going to do. And as I said, we didn't get back. We left the school at 6:30. We didn't get back until, well, I didn't get home until 9 o'clock last night. Long day up in Kalispell, taking the welding class up to test for certification. So that was kind of a neat And so that was kind of fun. We did, we had lunch at Five Guys and we had dinner at Chick-fil-A. So not a bad day from that point of view, but a long day. Excuse me. So, excuse me for just a moment. And I apologize for that. Again, I said I'm having a pretty rough morning today. It was a good day yesterday. Got home late last night. This is how I am planning on getting our week back on track. We're not doing a double reading today. I am still wiped out. I think I slept good, but I'm just tired this morning. I'm kind of dragging. So I'm not going to do a double reading today. Thursday and Friday are going to be pre-recorded because I'm driving bus again. Those are my last two trips. So I'm going to record those probably tomorrow. And then, so we will be live today. We'll be live tomorrow. Thursday and Friday will be pre-recorded. Thursday will be a Theology Thursday. And then Friday will be a double reading. So that by the time we get to the end, we will be back on schedule. We're a day behind right now. So our reading today is actually the Monday reading on the schedule. We work our way through the Legacy Standard Bible in translation, the entire Bible, something out of that I am enjoying. So without further ado, let's go ahead and launch to our prayer of confession from the Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it happened afterwards that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so distressed because of his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin. So it was hard in Amnon's sight to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so depressed morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Then Amnon said to him, I am in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom. Jonadab then said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill, and your father will come to see you. And you will say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me some food, and let her prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat from her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill, and the king came to see him. And Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her. Then David sent to the house for Tamar, saying, go now to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. And she took dough, kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and dished them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom, that I may eat from your hand. So Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom to her brother Amnon. Then she brought them near to him to eat. But he took hold of her and said to her, come, lie with me, my sister. But she said to him, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you will be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. So now, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. But he was not willing to listen to her voice. Now he was stronger than she, so he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he loved her. And Amnon said to him, get up, go away. But she said to him, "No, because this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you have done to me." But he was not willing to. Then he called his young man who attended him and said, "Now cast this woman out of my presence," and lock the door behind her. Now she had on a long sleeve garment, for in this manner the virgin daughters of the king dressed themselves in robes. Then his attendant took her out and locked the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her long sleeve garment which was on her, and she put her hand on her head and went away, crying aloud as she went. So Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? But now keep silent, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart." So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now when King David heard of all these matters, he was very angry. But Absalom did not speak to Amnon, either good or bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. Now it happened, after 2 full years, that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold now, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, we should not all go, for we will be burdensome to you." Although he urged him, he was not willing to go, but blessed him. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom urged him. So he sent Amnon and all the king's sons. Then Absalom commanded his young men, saying, "See now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then put him to death. Do not fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be strong and be valiant." Thus the young men of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. Now it was while they were on the way that the report came to David, saying, "Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left." Then the king arose, tore his clothes, and lay on the ground, and all his servants were standing by with clothes torn. But Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Do not let my lord suppose that they have put to death all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone has died, because by the intent of Absalom this has been set since the day that he violated his sister Tamar. So now, do not let my lord the king take the report to heart, saying, 'All the king's sons have died,' for only Amnon has died." Then Absalom fled, and the young man who was the watchman raised his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come, according to your servant's word." So it happened. As soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted their voices and wept, and also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. Now Absalom had fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom had fled and gone to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the heart of King David was consumed with going out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he had died. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, knew that the king's heart was inclined toward Absalom. So Joab sent to Tekoa and brought a wise woman from there and said to her, "Please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments now and do not anoint yourself with oil, but be like a woman who has been mourning for the dead many days. Then you shall go to the king and speak to him in this manner." So Joab put the words in her mouth. So the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, and she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, "Save, O king." And the king said to her, "What is your trouble?" And she answered, "Truly I am a widow, my husband has died, and your servant woman had 2 sons, but the 2 of them struggled together in the field, and there was no one to deliver between them. So one struck the other and put him to death. And behold, the whole family has risen against you, and they say, 'Hand over the one who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed, and destroy the heir also.' Thus they will extinguish my coal which remains, so as to leave my husband neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth." Then the king said to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give a command concerning you." And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, "O my lord the king, the iniquity is on me and my father's house, But the king and his throne are guiltless. So the king said, whoever speaks to you, bring him to me, and he will not touch you anymore. Then she said, please let the king remember Yahweh your God, so that the avenger of blood will not continue to bring about ruin, so that they would not destroy my son. And he said, as Yahweh lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground. Then the woman said, please let your servant woman speak a word to my lord the king. And he said, speak. Then the woman said, why then have you thought up such a thing against the people of God? For in speaking this word, the king is as one who is guilty, in that the king does not bring back his banished one. For we will surely die and are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away life, but thinks up ways so that the banished one will not be cast out from him. So now the reason I have come to speak this word to my lord the king is that the people have made me afraid. So your servant woman said, let me now speak to the king. Perhaps the king will perform the word of his maidservant. For the king will listen and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy both me and my son from the inheritance of God. Then your servant woman said, please let the word of my lord the king be a resting place. For as the angel of God, so is my lord the king, to listen with discernment through the good and the evil. And may Yahweh your God be with you. Then the king answered and said to the woman, please do not hide anything from me that I am about to ask you. And the woman said, let my lord the king please speak. So the king said, is the hand of Joab with you in all this? And the woman answered and said, as your soul lives, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. Indeed, it was your servant Joab who commanded me, and it was he who put all these words in the mouth of your servant woman. In order to change the appearance of things, your servant Joab has done this thing. But my lord is wise, like the wisdom of the angel of God, to know all that is in the earth. Then the king said to Joab, behold now, I have done this thing. Go therefore and bring back the young man Absalom. And Joab fell on his face to the ground, prostrating himself and blessing the king. Then Joab said, today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, O my lord the king, in that the king has performed the word of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. However, the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom turned to his own house and did not see the king's face. Now in all Israel was no one as handsome as Absalom, so highly praised. From the sole of his foot to the top of his head, there was no defect in him. When he shaved the hair of his head, and it was at the end of every year that he shaved it, for it was heavy on him, so he shaved it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels by the king's weight. And to Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. Now Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem and did not see the king's face. Then Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he was not willing to come to him. So he sent again a second time, but he was not willing to come. Therefore he said to his servants, see, Joab's portion of the land is next to mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire. So Absalom's servants set the portion of land on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom at his house and said to him, why have your servants set my portion of land on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent for you, saying, come here that I may send you to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me still to be there. So now, let me see the king's face, and if there is iniquity in me, let him put me to death. So Joab came to the king and told him, and he called for Absalom. Thus he came to the king and prostrated himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. And now Acts chapter 20. And when they had been brought safely to shore, then we learned that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us extraordinary affection, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer and though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were waiting for him to soon swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, changing their minds, they began to say that he was a god. Now in the areas around that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying afflicted with fever and dysentery. And Paul, going to see him and having prayed, laid his hands on him and healed him. And after this had happened, the rest of the people of the island who had diseases were coming to him and being healed. They also bestowed on us many honors of respect, and when we were setting sail, they supplied us with all we needed. Now at the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship which had wintered at the island, and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. After we put into Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. From there, we sailed around and arrived at Rhegium, and after a day when a south wind sprang up, on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There we found some brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. Thus we came to Rome. And the brothers, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and Thrillians to meet us. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And when he entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. And it happened that after 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they came together, he began to say to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no grounds for putting me to death. But when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I requested to see you and to speak with you, for I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel." And they said to him, "We have neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brothers come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect it is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere." And when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly bearing witness about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. And some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others were not believing. And when they disagreed with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one word. "The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers, saying, 'Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand, and you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and I heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles. They will also hear." When he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence unhindered. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, I don't really have a topic today. As I said, I'm having a rough morning. I'm pretty tired. I'm kind of dragging. I've got some projects to do around the house, but it's going to be putter speed, if you know what I mean. I'm not going to be real industrious today, and I will probably throw a nap in there. Yes, I really am turning, but that's okay. I am an old man in many respects to continue on that course. We'll be back again, like I said, for a live episode tomorrow. Then Thursday and Friday will be pre-recorded. Thursday will be Theology Thursday. Friday will be the double reading day. And I do have some things I want to discuss, so that'll probably be tomorrow and maybe some on Friday. This is my last week of bus driving this as I get ready for the summer. Now, just to let you know what's coming up in summer, I'm going to be gone for a weekend because I'm working at the high school camp, at Camp Utmost, high school week. I'm actually going to be a counselor, staying in the cabin with the kids, doing daily devotionals. I'll have a group of high school boys, and I'm looking forward to that. And hanging out at camp, trying to instruct them. And first time I've ever done this. It's the camp I went to when I was a kid. That's going to be kind of fun. Then probably going to get a couple of camping trips and stuff in during the summer. Got some household projects that need to be done during the summer. So I don't know exactly what my squirrel chatter schedule is going to be over the summer, but I will endeavor to pre-record episodes for any days that I'm not here to keep us up to date in our Bible reading. And, you know, God willing, that's the way that's going to work. And then I'm also going to be gone for a period of time in August because I'm going down to Conway, Arkansas to Grace Bible Theological Center with Dr. Scott Annual and the Theology of Worship. So that's in August. I've got all the books. I get to do all the reading over the summer, and then I'll head down to Conway. I'm still up in the air on whether or not I'm going to drive or whether I'm going to fly. I'll have to check into rental cars and see if I can rent a car. I've got to figure out my travel plans. It is 26 hours driving Conway, Arkansas. So I'm looking at 2 13-hour days or 2 10s and a 6. I'm not sure how I'll break it up. Probably do 2 13s going down and then come back at a little bit more relaxed pace if I drive. And then it's still up in the air that I might fly. Now, a trip of that length is not that big a deal. I drive 19 hours one way every year to go down to Shepherd's Conference, and I used to be a truck driver. I like driving. The only question is, what are rental cars going to cost me in August? And then looking at even like a month later in September, going back to Arkansas because James White is doing early church patristics, and that would be... That's something I've... So it looks like I'm going to be making 2 quick trips to Arkansas in the late summer, just a few weeks apart. So it's going to be a busy summer, definitely a busy fall. So I can't really tell you what kind of routine we're going to have. We're going to be all over the place. So bear with me. I'll try to keep you as informed as possible. And I'll try not to fall behind again. I'll try to make sure that we get pre-recorded episodes done and everything works out well. So thanks for being here today. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. I'll see you again here tomorrow. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.